The Jurgens Journal, featuring Walter Winchell. Mr. Winchell, whose famous column appears in the New York Daily Mirror and other newspapers with more than 25 million readers, is brought to you by Jurgens, the lotion for soft, smooth, romantic hands. Mister, you say your girl has what kind of hands?
Her hands are look again and hope to touch.
Look again and hope to hold, I guess you mean.
I mean she has smooth, soft hands.
And very nice it is when a woman has soft, feminine hands. Jurgens lotion makes this possible for any woman. Thanks to wartime research, this famous lotion is even more effective now for smoother, softer hands and for even longer protection against roughness. The very first application helps. But for the smoothest, inviting hands, use Jurgens in connection with every soap and water job. And always use Jurgens lotion. Now to the editorial room of the Jurgens Journal and Walter Winchell.
Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. North and South American, all the ships at sea. Let's go to press. New York City. The Hudson River ice floes prevented the police launches from finding the body of the man who jumped from the George Washington Bridge a few hours ago. He was middle-aged and about 5'6". New York City. Attention, Hamilton, Ontario. Tragedy struck at the Fifth Avenue mansion of Dr. and Josephine Benedict Sharp today. The 27-year-old heiress to the Benedict typewriter fortune swallowed about 50 sleeping pills after a violent quarrel with her husband. Hollywood. The drummer in the Harry James Orchestra was arrested and charged with being a dope fiend today. He said the heroin he used cost him $450 an ounce. Morristown, New Jersey. Andrew Lord, a banker of New York City, was killed today after being thrown by his horse. Washington. Mr. Winston Churchill is all right now, despite a very rough trip today by air from Miami, in which he was thrown from his plane seat. Attention, Miami Herald. Van Johnson, the moving picture star, after a two-day visit to New Orleans, will arrive in Miami, Florida, Tuesday next. An actress named Jacqueline Dahlia is flying from New York City to visit the star in Florida. She is due there tomorrow. One and one make three. Washington, D.C. Attention, Washington newspapers. An explosion, due very soon in Washington, will involve a member of the presidential cabinet and a foreigner who has tried to blackmail the presidential advisor. The long arm of the law will soon crack down on this blackmailer, whose initials are 19 and 4. Behind the international news, Montevideo, Uruguay. The attorney general of Argentina is a dirty crook whose price is about 50,000 pesos for every Nazi he covers up by naturalization papers. These naturalization papers, ladies and gentlemen, are the price paid by Nutrifrindi for his naturalization. And it saves him from deportation and arrest by the United States Army. This Nazi Frundi was and still is Hitler's number one man in Argentina. Munich, the ancient and dishonorable house of Bavaria, renowned in history for its drunkards and its insane, will soon try to separate Bavaria from Germany, so they can again put the crown on the family idiots. Shanghai. The Shanghai Evening Post and Mercury recently revealed what it called disquieting signs of Japanese and Nazi influence in China. That report, ladies and gentlemen, was written by an American. He is William H. Newton of the Scripps Howard newspapers. In short, said Mr. Newton, the Japanese and the Nazis are behind lots of trouble in China. Athens, Greece. The Food Administration in Greece is an international scandal right under the sleepy eyes of the British Lion, or is he winking? Alexandria. It will be denied, it always is, but the evidence is mounting that the Kremlin and the Muslim leaders are working out a grand alliance. If this is true, then it would mean that so far as Joe Stalin is concerned, so long, bye-bye, and ta-ta to a free Palestine. Bahrain, Arabia. Arabian oil production is expected to reach an all-time high. And in power politics, an oil field is what a water hole is in a jungle or a desert. Look for plenty of trouble then, east of Suez and west of Bombay, and tell Mr. Molotov that he can't stop Winchell from reporting in advance what some diplomats are trying to scoop me on, a third world war. Washington, D.C. A terrific feud will shortly break when Postmaster General Robert Hannigan publicly challenges Secretary Ickes' testimony. General Hannigan will charge that Secretary Ickes was secretly backing Mr. Justice Douglas for vice president while publicly backing Mr. Henry Wallace, and that Mr. Ickes' second choice was Mr. Truman at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Attention, Mr. and Mrs. United States. In the 19th century, Abraham Lincoln fought for the principle that no man had the right to live by another man's sweat. In the 20th century, Abraham Lincoln would have fought twice as hard for the right of a man to say what he thinks, whether that man is speaking in a corner drugstore or over a national radio hookup. If Abraham Lincoln were with us today, he would be denouncing power politics over a microphone and probably be leading the latest Crosley Hooper or Nielsen radio rating. Because Abraham Lincoln spoke not only to the common people, he spoke for them. And though the centuries change, the principles, particularly of evil, remain the same. Nations, like men, were not born to live in chains. If Abraham Lincoln were alive tonight, ladies and gentlemen, he would be under subpoena to appear before that stupid, rankin', un-American committee, because Abraham Lincoln would dare to denounce some Bill Boob or some Gerald L. K. Smith or some other notorious question mark for being intolerant or for just being what they are. I believe, too, that if Lincoln were alive today, he would be attacked on the floor of the House or Senate as a subversive, just because Lincoln might have declared that all men have an equal right to make a living. Beyond a question of doubt, Lincoln, the Republican today, would be called alien-minded, an FDR stooge, a branch of the Winchell column, or the uptown edition of PM. Because Lincoln believed that a breadline in any state of the Union concerned the whole federal government. The New York and Washington ticker. You will soon learn about wholesale resignations now being readied by officials in the State Department and intelligence. They are sizzling over concealment of activities of certain foreign agents in our country for what is called diplomatic reasons. The Tommy Corcorans of Washington are expecting their fourth little brain truster in the summer. Mr. Corcoran was FDR's right-hand man early in the New Deal. New York. Prominent Wall Streeters now figure that except for a few regional ceilings, OPA will be a casualty next June. And that as prices go up, the value of your money will go down. The pressure boys in Washington, who are trying to squeeze the last bit of advantage for their industries, are squeezing half the life out of your dollar. See you at the poorhouse. A reporter's report to the people. Washington. The State Department and Secretary of State Burns denied the recent report of a rumor over this microphone that two American ships loaded with machine guns had docked at Barcelona recently. The guns, I said, were allegedly for the Franco government, and my source, I said, was the Spanish underground. Well, the Spanish government in exile, however, continues to believe the opposite, meaning that they were delivered. And a secret report of a French commission recited the alleged deliveries. In the meantime, will the State Department kindly explain the following dispatch of the Associated Press? It ran as follows in the eminently reliable Christian Science Monitor on February the 2nd, to wit. The Barcelona newspaper Vanguardia said yesterday that a Spanish purchasing commission had reported buying $10 million worth of surplus property owned by the USA. The Spanish commission indicated that it had bought, quotes, abundant planes, a good quantity of tires, and numerous trucks. Mr. Secretary of State Burns, true or false? Attention, the State Department. This concerns a man who is trying to arrange a visa to get into our country, and this is to protest it for a lot of other Americans. His name is Dmitry Ivanovich Dorozensko. He is Ukrainian. He was a principal speaker in 1940 in Berlin, Germany. He is a 100% Nazi, and he had the support of Hitler's gang. I have photostatic evidence of his appearance at Nazi meetings in Berlin. This Dmitry Dorozensko, now in the American zone in Germany, is actually working today as an advisor to the British American authorities. He has also requested a visa to come over here. Over what American's dead body, Mr. Secretary of State Burns? Ernie Pyle's? General Patton's? Captain Colin Kelly's? General Rose's? Or Private Joe Doakes's? And now, Mr. Ben Grauer and company for Jergens Lotion, I'll be back in a flash.
Here's Sally Andrews, Jergens beauty consultant who's been shopping in New York. Well, what'd you see, Sally?
Men at perfume counters, Ben.
Huh?
Choosing Valentine's, I guess, for the one and only. And I mean choosing. Wondering, would that be right for her? Would she rather have this?
Well, a man likes to please his girl.
A girl likes to please her man, too, Ben.
Huh?
Only sometimes she makes a mistake. She works so hard keeping his house nice for him, she forgets to keep her hands nice. And it's so easy with Jergens lotion.
Oh, I guess the girls aren't so foolish, Sally. You know, young marrieds use Jergens lotion nearly 4-1.
That's so. And they've probably noticed that Jergens lotion is finer than ever now.
Jergens is even finer now as a result of wartime research. It protects even longer, makes the hands even smoother and softer. It's in the store, same bottle, still 10 cents to $1 plus tax. You save on the dollar bottle. For St. Valentine's sake, take care of your hands. Be right with you in a minute, Walter. Take care regularly with this famous Jergens lotion. Now back to the editorial room of the Jergens Journal and Walter Winchell.
Washington. President Truman sent word yesterday that he would back Edwin Pauley to the finish and that under no circumstances would Truman pull out his nomination for Mr. Pauley as Undersecretary of the Navy. Ladies and gentlemen, I am for Edwin Pauley. I want to stand up and be counted among all those rats. I just want to ask his critics one question. If Edwin Pauley has committed a crime of any kind, why didn't Mr. Ickes or somebody tell it to any federal grand jury? If Edwin Pauley is guilty of any crime, why was such very important news held up until this late date? I don't believe that Edwin Pauley has done anything rotten or committed any crime. But if he has, then give me the evidence. And as one of his loyal friends, I will have him arrested. I'll tell Johnny Edgar Hoover. That's what I'll do. What a farce. How do you like it? A politician calling another politician a politician. Now for some tips to the papers. To the Army and Navy Journal, this may be a scoop. The Navy has completed plans for a post-war reserve, a sort of a Navy National Guard. The top side man will be Admiral John Gingrich, the former skipper of the USS Pittsburgh, who was given two new citations this week, but nobody has it in any newspaper. Why don't the boys wake up down there? To the Women's Wear, a newspaper of New York. Here are some sour news for the ladies. The heavy luxury tax on furs will not be lifted for a very long time because Secretary of the Treasury Vinson and President Truman are against removing that luxury tax. To the Albany Times Union, the General Assembly of Kentucky this week passed a bill making FDR's birthday a legal state holiday. The governor of Kentucky, however, vetoed that bill, but the Kentucky House of Representatives, what a great bunch of guys they must be, passed it over the Kentucky governor's veto. To the Daily Mirror of New York. Harry Hopkins did not die of cancer. It has not been announced why, and it may be denied, but it was liver trouble. And Mr. Hopkins' worst friends could not call him a drinking man of any kind. And that, ladies and gentlemen, winds up another Jergens Journal until next Sunday night at the very same time. Until then, and with lotions of love, I remain your New York correspondent, Walter Winchell, who leaves this memo for the chumps who lost their shirts in Wall Street the last few days. Buy government bonds, and someday you will thank the Lord that you saved some ammunition. Good night.
Out of sight, out of mind, they say. Well, just because you can't see them, don't let your elbows get rusty rough. You know others see them. When you smooth Jergens lotion on your hands, give your elbows a taste of Jergens, too. Keep this up and see how childlike smooth your elbows soon look. It's a detail, nice smooth elbows, yes, but a very charming detail. And smooth Jergens lotion over your arms and shoulders. Even too thin arms look rounder and more feminine when they're creamy smooth. Remember, Jergens lotion tends your skin with two ingredients so exceptional for skin smoothing that many doctors use them. No oiliness, no annoying stickiness. For really smart grooming, use Jergens lotion on your arms and elbows, too. Next week, another edition of the Jergens Journal with Walter Winchell. And now be sure to remain tuned for Luella Parsons' new 15-minute program with her guest of the evening, June Allison, which follows immediately. This is Ben Grauer speaking.